going. So this is Noreen. Welcome to Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm Noreen. You got Daisy doing part of the controls today. And then we also have in the studio Bob, the engineer for today.
I like how she's pointing, by the way, and no one can see this because it is the radio.
Because he had to give us our his microphone today, because we also have in the studio a guest that is here. And you'll find out why in a moment. But we also have Kelly here with us. So say everybody say hello to Kelly.
Hi.
I'm tripping over my words a bit today. But we have a really fun show.
I think so.
No, today is going to be a really fun show because we have somebody. He's a Greenwich resident. He was here for a long time, but he's calling in on the phone. He is the astrologer to the stars, to the government officials, to sports figures, to corporate executives. And I was joking in my post when I advertised the show online saying, we all know that you out there in the listening world either don't believe it all or really love to read your horoscopes. And Frank Don, our guest, has been an astrologer, is an intuitive, and he is going to come on the show and talk to us more about why you should reconsider astrology. And
have you ever gotten a reading before?
I used to live in India, so the culture,
that doesn't answer my question.
I've gotten a reading with Frank once. But when I lived in India, the whole culture is just embedded in an understanding of astrology. So we're going to have Frank start to explain to us, to help legitimize astrology. And why don't we bring him in?
Yep, we're going to bring him in just a second. Kelly, okay. Have you ever gotten a reading before?
I have.
Oh, okay. I got one done in like California a couple years ago. It was a long time ago. All I remember them telling me something with molds and candles and $500, and I was like, what is happening right now?
$500.
I don't know. Something with like buy these candles and whatever.
Good.
So, yeah, we're excited about it. We're just getting plugged in right now, but I'm excited to actually hear from a professional as opposed to just a random person on the beaches of Venice or whatever.
Oh, no.
We put our headphones on to listen to him, by the way.
There's only two headphones.
There's only two headphones. It's so, okay, bear with us, folks. We're getting things together today. But no, Frank is somebody who apparently used to have a shop here in town, and he's been doing this for decades and decades, and there is some legitimacy to it. I'm going to let him explain. But again, I did live in India for 2.5 years, and I was there with my husband at the time. But in that culture, in that ancient culture, there's an integration of an understanding of something bigger that's happening and how that's affecting your personal life and how that's affecting who you are and your personality and your destiny on this planet. So let's let him explain it, because I'm not the right person. But after that, he's going to read our Daisy, Kelly and I have given him our charts and our birth dates, and he's going to read a little bit of our destinies. And he's also going to talk about each of the zodiac signs and what might be in store for them. So welcome aboard, Frank.
Thank you, Noreen. It's nice to be with you.
You like that? It's wonderful to have you here. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Keeping warm down here, so that's a good thing.
Where's down here for our audience?
Down under?
Yeah,
North Palm Beach, Florida.
Oh, boy. A sellout. Now, you used to have a place here in Greenwich, correct?
That's correct. Yes, I did.
You had a store, because I was in Whole Foods the other day here in Greenwich, and I was telling one of the gentlemen that I know who works there, he was asking about the radio show, and I said, oh, we have this great guest on next week. He said, oh, he had a store here in Greenwich. So you lived in Greenwich for a long time, right?
I grew up in Greenwich, then went away to college and eventually came back to Greenwich. And, yes, I had a store. It was a workshop center as well on Mason Street.
And what kind of workshop, when you call it a workshop center, what does that mean?
A lot of it was different human potential lectures, talks, workshops that people offered.
So, Frank, I wanted to get into this for just a moment. So we are in Greenwich, Connecticut, and you grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and this is a very traditional part of the world here in the Northeast. And yet you took a path that was something that, I don't know, must have called to you, but talk to us a little bit about how you go from being a Greenwich and going to school here and having this very traditional atmosphere to choosing a path to study some of the more philosophical sciences?
Well, it was very traditional. My parents, grandparents were from the UK. My grandparents came over after the First World War. He had been an entrepreneur. So we have a very conventional background, shall I say. And yet when I was in graduate school for business going for my MBA, I initially started out in California and then came back to New York and went to NYU, which at that time, the graduate business school was right next to the American Stock Exchange. I found people play the market the way they play the horses with different systems. Some of these seem to be lunar cycles. Some of them seem to be astrology. So that's how I first got interested in it.
Well, just connect the dots for me. So you're looking at people investing in the stock market and you're connecting it to lunar cycles?
Yeah, some people would, basically make recommendations as far as stocks or stock cycles. I mean, there's a saying, something along the lines of buy in May and go away. And for instance, if you look at the market itself, October is often a kind of a red month as far as the market. So people look at different seasons. They look at, again, different cycles, all of which ties in with astrology, because the idea is that what's happening, quote, in the heavens is going to have an impact and influence here on Earth. Now, you mentioned being in India. There are indeed two different schools of astrology.
Okay, explain that.
You know, one is the Eastern, or if you will, the Indian, the Vedic astrology, which sees things as far more predetermined, whereas Western astrology really sees the idea of energies and the use of free will and choice as far as how we work with the energies. But needless to say, it helps us if we're aware what the energies are.
Okay, so I feel like we're going to have to explain a little of this, Frank, before we start to get into talking about any of the signs or anything like that. But so we're in a traditional part of the world here, and how can you explain astrology to the Western world? I know you're saying there's a specific astrology more associated with the Western world, but how do you start to explain what's going on in the heavens and how that affects what's happening down here on Earth?
Well, we have, these different planetary influences, and I want to go back to 2008 when we had a major shift in energy. What it was transiting Pluto coming into Capricorn. The whole Capricorn energy talks about structure. Pluto talks about volcanic eruptions or, again, either implosions or explosions. And one of the things that we saw in the 2008 period was indeed the whole issue of subprime mortgages had kind of triggered a lot of the financial global crisis. So with this Pluto going through Capricorn, which started back in 2008, we're seeing a lot of structures, a lot of the old traditions, a lot of the old structures kind of going by the wayside. We're seeing it on a multifaceted basis. We're seeing it in regard to the financial realm, financial institutions. We're seeing it in regard to religious issues or religious institutions. And we're also seeing it in regard to governmental institutions. So in a sense, we're going through what in mythology we would talk about the phoenix, the mythological bird on its funereal pyre, rising from its ashes to soar ever higher. So we're going through something of a major transformation.
The entire planet?
Yeah, as a society, yes.
A society, we're going through a major transformation. And from what into what?
From, again, the way the structures have been into, again, if you will, kind of a new age, but this new age, and some of it certainly the idea of the information age, with, again, artificial intelligence coming more on board, robotics coming more on board, and that's where, again, some of the old concepts such as, jobs and, if you will, manufacturing economy is going to be certainly going through major transitions.
So I'm trying to understand, so we're talking about the energies and planets. So if a planet moves, how does that affect what's happening here on our planet?
Well, there's an influence. And I mean, certainly we see it, say, with new moon and full moon, there are tidal influences. And the tidal influences aren't merely associated with the ocean's tides. They've done research and studies whereby they are also seeing that they're, quote, land tides. It's not as evident, mind you. And then thirdly, again, you know, certainly, I mean, people know the concept of Mercury retrograde. I had a client in Chicago call me up, and they said, you won't believe it. On the newscast, they were talking about there must be a Mercury retrograde because the traffic here in Cook County has never been like it is today.
I do notice they are putting more things in the news because they were talking about the eclipse that happened in the beginning of January, the blood moon eclipse or something like that, but it was making it into mainstream news, which I thought was unusual.
Right, right.
Do you think people are starting here? I guess I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this question. Do you think more people believe in astrology than are letting on, or that they're more aware that there's some integration of the non-physical with the physical, but they're just keeping it a secret because they're afraid that if they say out loud that they believe in something non-physical, that they'll be attacked or something like that?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I mean, certainly, again, when I was living in Greenwich and I had my practice in Greenwich, not merely my business, you know, I'm always surprised by some of the people that come to me. You know, some of them are probably the most grounded, probably people that you wouldn't even assume would have an interest in astrology. But, you know, again, and I'm not looking at people who are you know, huge believers. Even the healthy skeptical is really my preference, shall I say, because, you know, the old saying, the pudding's in the eating of it. So if indeed there's certain...
I like that.
Hungry. It's lunchtime.
Pudding. question, how do you do a reading?
Well, I do it either in person or, again, thanks to the technology, I can also do it in absentia, whether on the phone, whether by means of Skype, Zoom, WhatsApp, FaceTime. So in years past, because, like you said, I've been doing this for decades and decades and decades and decades.
We get it. You're old.
Well, down here, I'm kind of middle-aged.
Oh, good.
Yes, good point.
So, in a sense, I learned by hand, but more recently, by means of computer and having, say, astrology programs, I can set up a chart fairly quickly, and I can see what's going on both as far as the natal chart or birth chart, which is kind of a foundation stone from which we develop, and then also what are known as progressions and transits, which give me an indication as far as significant time frames in the past. In the future, some of the things I would see going on for the person at that point in time.
And what have you, like, what are some things, I know that you've been quoted in New York Times Magazine, what are some things that you have predicted?
Well, I predicted this, quote, great recession that we went through. I also have predicted things along the lines of the Japanese economy collapse. I also predicted the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Let's see, I predicted, well, I thought that Clinton would win, but I also said that if indeed Trump and Pence came out of the East strong, they could win the election, and so they did. Those are some of the things that I've come up with. And then, you know, my personal favorites are more with people. I mean, my wife will often tell the story about how we were going to go over to the U.K. to see my stepmother, and she was working at Pequot Library up in Southport at the time. And she kept on saying, I have to give them my vacation time. I have to give them my vacation time. And I kept on saying, well, we have to wait until after mid-September because there's something in September that I just don't feel comfortable with. And I didn't, quote, predict, shall I say, 9/11. But, you know, I certainly had an edginess about the possibility of something fairly significant.
So you sound credible to me. I think we should do we have time? How much more time do we have before break?
Three minutes?
Oh, okay.
So after the break, you'll read. You have some of our birth charts. You have everybody's birth chart in the room. So you're going to read a little about our birth charts and what might be in store for us. But before that, I wanted to – I'm trying to still help people understand – we've given you our birth dates. What does that mean?
What it means is that, again, this is what you have come into as far as personality and personality delineation, your character. But then, like I said, there are progressions and transits. So we deal in astrology, we deal with the concept of relativity. That is, again, that we're not stasis or stagnant, that we go through periods of growth development. Of course, those periods of growth and development can be like cycles, mind you, whereby we're at times riding the crest and other times down in the trough. So neither one of us, none of us get out of this kind of scot-free. We all have our challenges and lessons to learn during this life journey.
And I know you said that the Vedic, right, the Vedic astrology, which is the Indian astrology, is more destiny-oriented. Do we have a destiny? And how much control do we have to break out of it if it ain't working for us?
My understanding, now I'll get very woo-woo here.
Okay.
My understanding is that before we come into this life experience, we kind of go to what are known as the Akashic Records, or kind of like our soul's development through different incarnations. We make choices as to what we want to take advantage of based upon what our soul has developed in times past, and what we want to either learn or master that we may have messed up in times past. So we kind of pick the coordinates in which to come into this life experience. But each one of us, kind of like a snowflake, not snowflake as it's being used nowadays, but a snowflake is kind of an individual, unique entity. And that's one of the beauties to me of astrology, that each one of us is a unique individual entity.
On that note, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out all about Noreen. Ooh.
We're starting with me. Please make it good, even if you have to lie. We'll be back in a moment, folks. This is Defy and Hustle Radio. We'll be right back. Okay, folks, welcome back to Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm Noreen. We're here in the studio with my co-host, Daisy Mello.
Hi.
And then we also have a guest who's here to get her chart read, and this is Kelly.
Hey, everybody.
And she works with me, and so we are going to have our special guest, astrologer and intuitive to the stars, Frank Don. Frank, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so welcome back.
Yeah.
And so for 2 seconds before we get into our charts, but you do work with some very high-profile clients, mostly high-profile clients, or you tell us.
I have some people that are CEOs, corporate people. I also have people that are involved in the entertainment industry. I also have people that are, if you will, seekers or just have questions in regard to what's going on in their life. Often I'll get people that are, in a sense, kind of having certain issues that they really want to address or look at.
Okay, because I know you'll send out notices and I'm on your email list, but you'll come through Greenwich and you'll go through Los Angeles and you'll go back down to Florida. So I do imagine that you're working with these higher profile, just because this town here is so high profile. So
let's get started.
I think we want to get
dying to know everyone's future.
No.
So let's start with can we start with Noreen, Frank?
Noreen, you come in as a Capricorn.
Yes, very much
so. As your sun sign. It's interesting because, like I said earlier, one of the energies going on right now is indeed this Pluto going through Capricorn. This is a time frame, and when I say time frame, this year, 2019-2020, are really key for you as far as on a career profession level. It's interesting. I see you doing a lot of traveling virtually as of this month, February, on the way through 2020. Some of this may be for a career profession, mind you. You also come in with what is referred to as a T-square in mutable signs. So you do better juggling a number of different things, mind you. At times you can really have the foresight or the, if you will, the intuitive as far as seeing the concept and the abstract, but then you can deal with a lot of the details as well. What you have to kind of watch for is indeed having too many irons in the fire, shall I say, whereby something can fall between the cracks.
Mm.
Also, your communication skills would seem to be incredibly strong. You could be a very good, quote, consultant or counselor. You can be a very good cheerleader for other people, making them aware both of options and alternatives that they don't see for themselves, providing them a game plan by which they can get from point A to point Z, and yet at the same time always having the pom-poms ready to kind of keep them keeping on.
Ooh, that's lovely.
Well, that just happens to be. So what does it mean to be a Capricorn? I mean, it, you just stated my whole career path, and do you see any money coming in? But let's talk big money.
I do. Again, no, I see. I don't know. You may have some kind of new project that you're working on. I don't know if you're looking at kind of expanding or broadening your reach. But, you know, this is a time frame whereby, A, you're going through something of a major metamorphosis. This past year, 2018, this year, 2019, you're really looking at what quality of life, quality of living is all about. And I also happen to feel that you've got an opportunity. It's interesting. You've got a particular energy that's coming in as of the summer period of 2019 and will be there for 7 years. So I just happen to feel that, yeah, the financial aspect to me is going to be a lot stronger. If indeed you have a project that you're looking to take to the next level, draw upon other people's resources rather than your own, but with the idea of having a cushion or some element of backup, because somebody may make promises that they can't keep. I don't have a whole lot of concern regarding your health situation. Just do kind of watch the nerves. And that's where, again, it's far better for you to play the xylophone rather than the one-note samba.
Okay, I think I do that. I'm doing a radio show and then coaching different clients and taking on businesses. And, yeah, I do a lot of different things. I can't help it. So,
that's great. Do you have any questions about yours?
I could go on for a little while, but that actually sounds like what I'm doing. So I've got my coaching business, and I've got business clients, and I've got professional clients, and I'm going to travel as of tomorrow to Los Angeles. So you got that right. And then I've got a radio show, and I'm helping other people to move forward in a coaching business and in a consulting way. So you see positive things, and I've got this mastered, right?
Yeah, I think you have some, but the one caveat is don't bite off more than you can chew.
Tasty. So if we were to break down other people, Frank, like in Aries, what are they expecting for the new year?
Well, the Aries, one of the things that's gone on over the last 7 years is we've had this transiting Uranus going through Aries. So the Aries have really been going through a lot of changes. It's almost like kind of either spreading their wings or stretching their wings, really wanting more of an element of, quote, independence or autonomy. They could get tripped up, mind you, by old issues or past situations. So, again, the more that they can bring resolution to the past, the better it would be. So that they don't, they're not bringing or dragging a whole lot of old baggage as they move forward.
Don't check those bags. Got it. Okay.
Okay, good.
Well, explain to us, because we could do this. I know there's like earth signs, fire signs, air signs, water signs. So maybe, I don't know what's the easiest way.
I think it's better to break it down per person, right?
Like, if there's time.
I think there's time. He's going pretty well. Let's do Taurus then.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the things with Taurus, first of all, it is indeed the symbol of a bull. Taurians are very much associated with the idea of, quote, acquisition, sometimes stuff. A Taurus I happen to know who happens to be a billionaire, they have a lot of stuff. They have a major, quote, collection of Western memorabilia. They have a major collection of wine. So there's an element of, quote, stuff and acquisition that's really important for the Taurus. The Taurus needs an element of, quote, stability and security. When that's shaken up, that gets a little bit dicey.
Mm.
Now, and the interesting thing is, mind you, that over the next 7 years, as of this coming spring period, they might have had a prelude to it during last summer, but during the next 7 years, Uranus is coming into Taurus. So the element of, quote, shifting sand, shall I say, all the while trying to maintain a sense of structure and stability. So the idea of building upon rock rather than upon sand is going to be really important for the Taurians.
All right. What about the Gemini?
Well, we have a really good instance of the Gemini. The Gemini, the symbol of the Gemini are the twins. Mm-hmm. So one could say it could be like Cain and Abel or Jekyll and Hyde. And right now we have a president who happens to be a Gemini. So, again, with the Geminis, it's almost like two people in one. And you don't know which one is going to come forward at which time. At the same time, the Gemini is really good as far as speaking. They're really into kind of talking. I was involved with a Gemini for a number of years, and one day we were having dinner at somebody's house, and one of the person was holding the dinner, went into the kitchen, and I went into the kitchen, and she asked me, does she ever shut up?
Wow, I know some of those people. I do not like Gemini.
But again, they can talk on a number of different topics, but possibly not with a whole lot of depth.
Well, now let's talk about me. I am the Scorpio. You did my reading. I'm pretty excited to hear it. Okay, what is it? Give me the good stuff. Only good. No, I'm kidding.
Scorpio is probably the sign that gets the most bad press, shall we say.
Truth.
And the reason being is that Scorpios are incredibly intense.
Oh, I know. My boyfriend calls it fire.
So Scorpios have this, you know, they're not interested in merely the shallow or the superficial. They really want to get to the heart of the matter, and they'll go the four corners of the world, mind you, to find out whatever is going on to get to that core situation or that core issue. Now, you, Daisy, interesting that while you have these three planets in Scorpio, you also have four planets in Libra. So, again, your interest in the other can be really strong, and, again, you can come across in a way whereby, A, you're very capable, whereby you're really interested in what's going on with the other person. But, again, to be somewhat blunt about it, it will take people several times to get to know you because they're not going to know you by means of just scratching the veneer.
Oh, that's so true. I got so many walls, Frank.
And there are times, I mean, I like a lot of the energy that's going on for you. You're about to come into a whole new 30-year cycle. There's a major integration that's going to be going on for you as far as the sun and moon, so which are, again, both a masculine and feminine energy. So it really allows an element of, quote, integration. I'd also suggest to you that you can really think outside the box. You know, you've got this Sun-Uranus conjunction. Now, again, one of the things that I'd ask you to look at is whatever was going on when you're about 6 years old, whereby a sense of stability and security might have been somewhat shaken up. And I'd take a year in either side. That there could have been something going on within the family unit or you know, just in your life whereby the sense of a rug being pulled out from under.
Is that true, Daisy?
It's so true. Oh, Frank.
And so what's happening as a result of that, Frank? So we're analyzing Daisy since she started with me. What's happening as a result of that?
Yeah, one of the things, there are times whereby you, Daisy, really need to be able to shut the door and not be intruded on. I'd also suggest to you that the more that you can do some of your work, you know, off camera or, you know, in the quiet recesses of your own space, that to me would be really important.
Yeah.
But again, the interesting thing is that you can really benefit through other people and you can be very good as far as, quote, taking care of other people. But one of the things that you have to make sure of is that you're taking care of Daisy as well.
Oh, that's so true. I can't. Oh, my goodness. do we need a break or are we good?
We're good.
Oh, we're good. Okay, I was like, oh, let's stop talking
about
me.
Is there a new sign? Bob's over there whispering about a new sign. Is there a new sign that
They're talking about it as far as constellation-wise. But, you know, I would suggest to you that part of this is more, again, based upon the seasonal aspect. That's where, you know, I mean, for instance, today we're celebrating the Chinese New Year.
Oh, yes.
And with the idea that there are 12 animals, shall I say, to the Chinese zodiac wheel. So, yeah, there is, quote, a new sign or a new constellation, but, you know, it's not really impinging upon the signs themselves.
Can we go on to, like, a couple more signs?
Well, Bob, what sign are you?
Pisces.
Oh, the Pisces.
We already did the Pisces.
We did the Pisces?
Yeah, Pisces.
Oh, we didn't do it yet. Let's talk about Pisces then.
Yes, let's talk about Bob.
Yeah, Pisces, there's a very strong element of sensitivity associated with the Pisces. The Pisces, you know, we're coming to the end of the zodiac wheel with Pisces. And, I mean, we certainly see it as we come more into the end of this month and as we come into, you know, the March period, which, you know, really does talk about the Piscean period. You could find that Pisces do a lot of sighing, but there's also a certain otherworldly type of quality. Pisces are really excellent as far as, you know, creating certain impressions. So you'll find a lot of Pisces are actors or are involved in the, you know, video industry because they can come up with certain images, certain impressions, certain visuals. Again, they're like dry sponges taking the water. They're very much impacted by environment and surroundings. Getting down by the water would be really important for them because it is indeed a water sign.
All right, Bob, go outside right now.
I know. Bob's leaving to go down to the sound.
And what about if we're going to do water, let's do the Aquarius.
Aquarius actually is an air sign.
Oh, my bad, my bad.
Daisy, don't take your time out, as they told you, and figure out the signs. All right, so Aquarius, we're in the age of Aquarius, or we're entering it, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's where, again, you're seeing a real shift. I mean, when we look at, say, the different ages, which are about 2,160 years, We're moving out of the Piscean age and coming into the Aquarian age. And we're moving out of, if you will, both the sense of the work ethic and religiosity, and we're moving more and more into the high-tech realm, the Aquarian realm, you know, and again, the emphasis on individuality, liberty, freedom of expression, things along those lines. Now, because, again, we're moving into Aquarius, we're also drawing upon its opposite sign of Leo. So this phase that humanity is moving into can be a very creative one. We're already seeing it both by means of the interest in, say, sports in regard to entertainment industry, the whole element of, quote, video games, et cetera, and then secondly also with what we're seeing in regard to, I won't say uprising, but, again, people kind of speaking out as far as, well, what's important to them, as far as, again, society or making the world a better place than the way we found it. So Aquarians are very much a very airy. They're a little bit ahead of the curve. You know, both Aquarius and also Pisces are a little bit ahead of the curve. They're more universal in sign or in concept. Again, it's interesting. If you look at this country, three of the more significant presidents have been Aquarians. Lincoln, FDR, Roosevelt, and then Reagan. So the Aquarians are really key, and they're really tied into this country, mind you, because this country has an Aquarius moon.
The United States does?
Okay. Yeah, it has an Aquarius moon, yes.
Okay, I don't fully. So what does it mean to have a certain moon?
Well, you know, often we appear more like our moon sign than, say, our sun sign. You know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. So the moon sign, you know, and again, if you look at the different energies, the sun represents more of the male energy, sometimes the father figure. The moon represents, say, the female energy and often represents the mother figure.
And what does it mean to have a rising sign?
The rising sign or the ascendant, that's when we, you know, set up the wheel itself. So the rising sign or ascendant really determines, you know, a lot of the personality. So, you know, people who read those horoscopes in the newspaper whereby it goes sign by sign, it would be far preferable for them to read it by means of their ascendant or rising sign. But, you know, people will read it because they don't know their rising sign or ascendant, so they'll read it for their sun sign.
Okay, okay, okay.
And then let's do maybe one more. How about Libra?
Libra, you know, it's the sign of balance. It's an air sign. It's a cardinal air sign. It comes in at the time of the autumn equinox. You know, certainly in the Northeast, we have that sense, you know, right around the end of September, whereby we're starting to get the cool nights and the warm days. So the Libran is, and its symbol is indeed the scales. And the Libran kind of goes flip-flops back and forth until they come to their mean. Now, the last two presidents that we had that were Librans were Jimmy Carter and also Dwight D. Eisenhower. Mm. When Librans make a final decision, and they'll see all sides, mind you, but when they make a final decision, it's almost like they'll go, you know, square ahead. Because, again, the opposite sign of Libra happens to be Aries. It's just that they do a lot of wavering or wondering or looking at things from all different directions before they make a final decision.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have time for another reading, or should we?
Let's take a break.
You know what Bob said? Let's take a break. When we get back, we're going to talk to Kelly and do a reading for the Sagittarius and go through the rest of the signs.
Okay, very good.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Defiant Hustle Radio. Keep listening. And this is Noreen Ehrlich. This is Defiant Hustle Radio. We've got my co-host, Daisy Mello.
Who's crying in the corner with
all
these
Scorpio
revelations that are happening.
She's recovering from something that happened to her when she was young.
Oh, when apparently somebody had that when I was six, which I'm still trying to figure out right now.
I don't know how I got past that, but I'm recovering from what happened to me last month. So we've got Bob here, the engineer, our lovely engineer that came out to help us today. And then we have my assistant, wonderful assistant, Kelly, in the room here, and Frank on the phone. We have Frank Don, the intuitive and astrologer to the rich and famous. Frank, you want to talk to us about our friend Kelly, the Sagittarius?
Yes. Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think I want to go to last year, 2018. You know, in astrology, we kind of recognize that adolescence doesn't really end at 18 or 20 or 21, but rather happens when we go through what is referred to as a Saturn return, when Saturn, by transit, returns to its natal position. Now, Kelly, during this past year of 2018, was going through the Saturn return. And whenever we go through a Saturn return, we're tying up a lot of loose ends of the last, say, 27, 30 years, and seeing what we want to bring forward into this next cycle or the second cycle or third cycle and what we want to leave behind. On an aside, what I found interesting is when I went through my second Saturn return is when we moved from California to Florida, but not merely to Florida, but to the exact area where I spent a lot of time growing up. So I was back in contact with people that I hadn't seen or been in contact with for 40 or 50 years. So for you, Kelly, again, if indeed you didn't go through kind of like a march down memory lane or a walk down memory lane last year, just to kind of recognize that you've ended the first cycle, you've come into the second cycle.
Now, well, having the, I definitely did kind of have a walk down memory lane as I returned to my birth town, which I hadn't been in 10 years, and was definitely reconnecting with all those old memories and people.
Oh, wild, wild, yeah. That really happens. But again, the main thing in that regard is you know, just kind of tying up the loose ends and then moving forward. I like the element of, quote, moving forward for you. You know, you do come in as a Sagittarius. One of the really nice things that's going on for you, and you don't have to wait that long. In actual fact, it's happened at the end of, you know, as we come into this year, 2019, more so in this February period. You're also likely to experience it in the May period, and then third time over will be in the October period. And that is indeed a real element of, quote, expansion. Some of that can be in regard to, you know, your work situation, your career situation, and you've got a major energy that's going to be operating, especially as we come more into this year of 2019, whereby, again, a lot of expansion going on career profession-wise. Now, you come in with a Pisces ascendant, mind you. Again, it's the third decanine of Pisces or Pisces Scorpio. So there, you've got a lot of energy, shall I say, as far as, again, on an intuitive basis. The interesting thing to me is that you have the opportunity of really blending and thinking outside the box as far as structure, template, anything along those lines. But you can be very effective with it. And again, you do have a very strong creative aspect associated with you. It's going to be a little bit avant-garde or iconoclastic, shall I say. But again, yeah, I like that energy. I'd also suggest to you that, you know, you're really going through something of a major change. You've got some very interesting new people cropping up. I like that. I also happen to feel that you're going to have some very interesting people on a career profession level that are going to be cropping up. A lot of that is going to be a lot stronger at the end of this year, 2019, as we come into 2020. I'm not too concerned about the health situation. Just make sure that you do either an element of hiking or kind of getting out into nature in and of itself.
Ah, that's great.
That's a big one.
You have any questions? I was trying to hear what you said about February.
I think it was May.
Oh,
I think it was just growth periods and expansion.
February, also May, and also October. What it is specifically is the transiting Jupiter coming on top of the Sun. So it's a very expansionary type of time frame. Over the last 2-3 years, you've been getting a lot of Saturn. So again, it's the type of thing whereby there would have been more of an element of, quote, compression, certain, say, delays possibly going on, and I would have been concerned about your skeletal structure during that period, with the recognition that you are indeed looking at changing structure.
Interesting.
Mm. Very interesting, because she's always cracking when she comes in the morning and cracks her neck.
If someone wanted a comprehensive reading with you, Frank, like, do you provide the notes afterwards? How does someone go about doing that? Like, how do they schedule
with
you?
I always make a recording. So I email an MP3 file. You know, I find, you know, because I tend to talk fairly quickly, especially during the session, I find that people hear something on a second or third listening that they didn't hear during the session. Mm-hmm. And then if I'm talking about something, say, 6 months or a year or 2 years down the road, I find the recording to be a good referral source.
And they go on frankdon.com in order to book a reading with you.
Right, exactly.
Okay, great. Let's finish up the signs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got some cancer. Not cancer. In the room from based on what he told us.
We're all cancer free.
So what about the cancer sign?
Yeah, cancer is very much associated with home family. You know, our country happens to be a Cancerian country. So the whole sense, and you know, I always find it interesting because, you know, I tend to read a lot, but I read a lot of international news. And I just, there are times whereby I just feel that we're a little bit myopic as far as what's happening in this country rather than, you know, what's happening around the world. So the cancer is very much associated with home family. Interesting in Mr. Trump's chart, you know, he's got 3 planets in cancer. And so you see this whole thing about family being so important to him and surrounding himself with family. So, yeah, the Cancer is very much associated with home, family. There's a very strong nurturing type of quality associated with the Cancerian energy. But there can also be a certain, say, either conventionality or, you know, kind of traditionalism associated with it as well.
And what about the Leo?
Leos, you know, they like to be on center stage. Leos are incredibly creative. You know, the last couple of presidents that we had that were Leos were Obama and also Clinton.
Makes sense.
And certainly, again, you know, there's a certain, quote, charisma that Leos have. But like I said, the world tends to revolve around them. There's a lot of creativity. You'll find, again, people that are involved in any creative ventures, whether it's acting, whether it's directing, whereby they have their imprint or mark upon it. And it's a fire sign, but it's a fixed fire sign. So it's a little bit more refined, shall I say, than just the primal expression that the Aries might have.
Okay.
We have one more, I think. Is it the Virgo?
Virgo.
Moving into Virgo.
Oh, okay. Virgo. You know, Virgos are kind of like the workhorses. Virgos are very much focused in on the specifics, on the details. Sometimes they lose sight of a forest for the trees, but they are indeed incredibly good as far as, again, looking at the specifics. Also, the whole element of, quote, hygiene can be really strong for them. So you can find some of your people who are really involved in healthy living being very much involved or being in, having a fair amount of Virgo in their chart. Where a problem arises is that Virgos can at times be a little bit insecure. So there's a certain perfectionist quality that they have, and they'll cut other people more slack than they cut themselves. Although, again, Virgos can be somewhat critical, and while they can be critical of other people, they're far more critical of themselves.
How long do your readings generally take? Like, if someone were to reach out to you and have, like, a reading, how long does that take?
Usually it's an hour.
Okay.
And like I said, I always record the session for the person as well.
Okay, and then would people come to you specifically? Is it always for a general reading and they just give, they need their birth date and their the time they were born, correct?
Birth date, birth time, and birthplace.
While
the initial session would be an hour, you know, subsequently I do like 5-minute or 10-minute sessions. I mean, sometimes I have people, you know, business people that are traveling that want me to check their flights. And there was a time I had a client call me from South Africa saying that I predicted flight 800. And I didn't predict flight 800. I just told him not to fly on that day.
Oh, wow. You should have told more people not to fly on that day. That's terrible. Oh, okay. And then, so do people come for specifically for love readings or career, or you just tell them a little bit about every aspect of their life?
Usually about every aspect, but like I said, you know, some people will come, whether it's in regard to relationship issues, it can be financial issues, it can be even relocation issues. You know, the interesting thing is that, you know, by shifting the zodiac wheel as far as locale, as far as where we are or where we were born, it really changes things. So I had a friend of mine in Greenwich that was looking at moving out of Greenwich. This was years ago, and she was looking at New Mexico or Seattle. And, you know, just shifting her chart to Seattle, it was incredibly sunny for her, even though Seattle doesn't have that much sun, mind you. And, you know, she's been there for about 25 years now.
Wow.
And what about compatible signs? So who's a Capricorn compatible with, or is that just made up that you're compatible with anybody?
A little bit, quote, made up. I mean, you really want to see the overlay of the two charts. You know, we're dealing with, you know, while people know their sun sign perhaps, you know, basically we're dealing with, say, 10 planets that again, will have different impacts or different influences. And so consequently, when we look at two different charts, we're looking at where, you know, the positive aspects or the positive connections are, but also whereby there could be a little bit of friction. But I had a couple of people come to me once whereby they were having difficulty conceiving, and there wasn't any, quote, medical problem, mind you. And it was interesting because when I mentioned to the woman what was going on when she was about 8 years old, she couldn't really connect with it, and then she said, oh, my God. That's when, you know, I left the table after eating, I went into the bathroom, threw up, and my mom came in and said, if you're going to throw up after dinner, I'd hate to see you ever get pregnant.
And that's what...
And that kind of, stuck on a subconscious level in her mind. And that's one of the things, you know, we're looking at those specific time frames whereby we may have had, you know, hit some bumps in the road, shall we say.
Wow. I want my full reading now. I don't think we have time for that.
We're all like, what are we going on? So there's some sort of purge or something that's going on individually with us right now, right? Because there's so many people being triggered, right? We're so sensitive right now.
Oh, definitely. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, one of the things going on a society level is indeed this whole idea of, quote, disruption. Like I said, a lot of the old structures are kind of falling apart, whereby, you know, faith in this, faith in that, faith in something else is kind of falling apart. So, you know, I'm finding that people are incredibly anxious and somewhat fearful. And in actual fact, they shouldn't, especially if indeed they'll keep in that analogy of the phoenix rising from its ashes.
So, okay, there is, it seems like every generation has anxiety issues right now, right? So you're saying they shouldn't have them, but how can, I don't know, what advice would you give as you're working with so many people each day and you understand something that's happening on a larger picture to our culture? What's the point of all the anxiety and how do you start to deal with it?
I think the major point is indeed kind of similar to the situation for Kelly last year, kind of looking back at what we've done, what we've, quote, created, what the structures are, and whether we have to kind of adapt or transform or change the structures so that they're more effective for the future rather than relying upon the past. But again, you know, a lot of people are in their discontent of complacency, whereby they don't want to make certain changes, and they assume that, you know, we can go back to some time frame other than where we're going. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, this is a major crossing on a societal level, and that's where a lot of things are, quote, up for a lot of people right at the moment. But again, the bottom line is that it can get a lot better rather than, you know, it getting worse.
It can or it will get better?
I think it will.
Because I'm still anxious. If you say it can, I'm anxious.
So just to let everyone know, if you want a reading, a consultation with Frank, it's frankdon.com. So FRANKDON.com. He is amazing. He records it for you. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about, Frank, that's going on? You're writing a book.
Well, my wife and I are you know, also doing college counseling. And again, you know, both of us, this is another, say, institution that's kind of, quote, falling apart, shall I say. I mean, we kind of shake our head in regard to students coming out with, you know, thousands of dollars of student loan debt, especially in light of the fact that, you know, it's the only debt that you cannot forgive under bankruptcy rules at the present time. So, you know, I just happen to feel that people really need to kind of think outside the box, kind of recognize that we do have an element of, quote, whether you want to call it protection or guidance. I mean, one of the beauties of these times is that things can change in a nanosecond, you know, and things can be incredibly serendipitous and synchronistic. We're breaking free of the old sequential reality and moving into asequential reality, whereby things don't go beginning, middle, end, but rather, again, things can come virtually out of the blue, and they can be very positive things.
Well, you're right. Positive.
You're a very positive thing, Frank, and we appreciate you being on the show. We thank you for being on the show today. And frankdon.com, D-O-N, frankdon.com to anybody who's listening who wants a reading. And Frank, we'll have you on again one day in the near future, so thank you. And for those of, are we signing off? We have a guest next week. It's David Rabin from United Way here in Greenwich. He's the CEO, and he's coming on with a guest to promote Soul Sisters, an event they're having to raise capital. So listen again next week. Bye-bye. This is Noreen. Take care, everybody.